Thank you, Lord. What a good, good, awesome God you are. What a wonderful Father you are. You hold us in the palm of your hands. And during worship, the Lord spoke to my heart and just said that there's so few. And I think today is almost like a prophetic picture for us of how few there are that truly, truly love and honor the Father, as he's worthy and deserving of honor and love. And this isn't just here in Salt Springs, but this is worldwide, worldwide. There's so few that love the Father with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their strength, with everything that's within them, that nothing comes ahead of him. I've been watching on God TV, they had a show about love so great. And it talks about the martyrs, the people that are being martyred from the beginning of the church until now, and how many people are being martyred in this hour. It's just heartbreaking to hear the terrible suffering, not just in Iraq, not just, but in India. Just, it's all over the world, the way people are being suffering so terribly for their faith, killed and butchered and one said that the man said he was kicked like a football on the ground, kicked and kicked and kicked. Just awful things that just because they're Christians, just because they're Christians. And they hold on to their faith. They stay steadfast in their faith. And when I listened to this, I thought, oh my goodness, such love they have for the Father, for God. They would endure all of that. This is in this hour, in this day. People are going through terrible suffering. Awful, awful things are happening to people. Beheaded, butchered. We've heard some of the stuff that ISIS has done, but this, I'd never heard some of the things. It doesn't even make the news, what people are going through. But the thing that really impressed me is how deep their love for God is. That they endure this. They were chased from their homes in India. Hundreds of thousands chased. I think 200,000 were killed. Hundreds of thousands chased. They had no home. Houses burned. And they got no place. But they have Jesus. They have Jesus. They're steadfast. If they renounce Jesus, they shave their heads. They have to eat cow dung and all this stuff. And to renounce Christianity, and then they'll be accepted back. But they will live. They're not horrible lives. They just stay away. Lost their homes. Lost everything. But their faith in Jesus is so strong. It's just incredible to see what's going on. And then to live in a nation where we are free, that we can worship God and be free. And a Sunday morning, and people are out doing everything but worshiping God. And here's other people in other lands that are being killed because they worship God. And they go. They know when they go to church. And they interviewed a man. Are you afraid? No, I'm not afraid. Perfect love casts out fear. That's what he said. He knows. Their church was attacked. This was the pastor. He was the pastor of the church. And he had baptized 14 people. Within 2 days, 11 of them were all killed. And they have the pictures of all the people in his church that were killed. And it's lined up all the back of the altar, all the people that were killed just for being there. The church itself was attacked, all bullet holes all over the front of the church, that they had stormed it and attacked it just because they were worshiping God, just because they're Christians. For no other reason. And they, yet knowing that, they still go to church. They still go to church. And this just amazed me, that they didn't just say, well, I'll just worship God at home and I won't go to church. And look at us in this nation. Here it is, Father's Day. This is God's day. I know people are sick, and there's some people that can't be here because of sickness. But to see how few people honor God as he deserves to be honored, it's really heartbreaking. After you watch something like that and see the degree that people really love God. It's only love for God that can cause somebody to lay their lives down like that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. But when God spoke to me, he told me there's a few that love me like that. And I know he was talking about us here. There's a few that love me like that. And because of those few, I'm going to pour my spirit out on everybody. That remnant that hangs on to the hem of God's garment, that comes and chases after him, that loves him with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. That remnant, those few, he showed me, he said, when the rain comes, we know that scripture, it rains on the just and the unjust. And that's what's going to happen. He's going to pour his spirit out on all flesh. Because of the few that hold on to him, hold fast to him, hunger and thirst for him, yearn for him, faithfully serve him, love him. He says, because of those few, I am going to pour my spirit out on all flesh. I'm going to talk today about the story of the lost son. Actually, it's going to be the story of the two sons. This parable that Jesus spoke, he spoke in order to show us who the Father is, and I think there's not a better scripture for us to meditate on today and talk about today than this parable that Jesus spoke to show us who the Father is. No one knows the Father like Jesus knows the Father. He knows who his Father is. And he was showing the people there and showing us, this is who my Father is. I don't want him misrepresented. I don't want people to misinterpret who he is. He said, there was a man who had two sons. Two. We're going to talk about the two sons today. The younger one said to his father, Father, this is in Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11 and 12, I'm in now. Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. So here's this youngest son who says, Daddy, I want my share of the estate. I don't want to wait till you die to get it. I want it now. Huh? I know. Bad, huh? Some kids think it, but this guy was bold enough to say it and do it. And his father, who's a picture of who? God the Father. What's he do? Tell him, what is wrong with you? You're going to wait till I die. And because you did that, I'm going to give you less. No, he didn't. He went and he gave it to him. It's a picture of God. Merciful, compassionate, understanding, kind, loving. That's our God. So he gets his money and off he goes. And this is a picture of people who, whatever talents God's given them, whatever qualities that they have within them, that they take it and run to the world with it and use them there. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, all this inheritance, and that's a picture of people who get all that they have, and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. He was serving the devil, and the devil's a hard taskmaster. He comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He was serving the devil. When we run away from God, know it for a fact, we're running to the devil. There's no middle road. It's either God's way or the devil. And he was running with the devil and all his demons, and he began to be in need. He lost everything. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. The world and the devil are hard taskmasters. They're tough. They're tough. No mercy, no compassion. This man had this farm. He was hired to feed those pigs, and he couldn't touch a morsel of that food. And he was starving. When he came to his senses, he had that aha moment. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death?" He was starving to death. And that's a picture of the people in the world. They're starving to death. Those boys at Hastings, before they get saved, they're starving to death. Us, before we get saved, starving to death. Starving for life, for the fullness of his presence, for his glory, for his word, for his power. But he was starving to death even in the natural. He had no food. So he says, this is what his plan was. "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father." He says, "I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell my dad I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry for what I've done. And I'm going to go back to him." And this is, you wonder, well, this is Jesus telling this story. He's trying to show us who his father is. Well, how did his father respond to this? This boy's father and our father. "But while he was still a long way off," he had just made the decision that he was going to change his life and he was going to go back home. He wasn't there yet. It says, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him." God looks on the world. He looks on us. He looks on people that have fallen away from him. And what does he look? He looks with compassion. All he wants is us to be sorry. That's all he wants, to be sorry and repented for our sins. "He was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son." He didn't even wait for his son to get to him. He ran and met him, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick! We don't have any time to waste here. My son's back. Quick!" That's how God is. This is Jesus saying, this is what my father's like. When you turn from sin, when you're sorry, quickly he comes and restores you. He doesn't make you languish on the backside of the desert. He says, "Quick, bring the best robe." And what's the robe represent? His destiny. The reason he was created. He'd lost it. He went off and squandered his wealth, his talents, everything he was in the world. No longer did he have that. Says, "Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, restore his destiny to him, restore his call to him." Yeah, the call that he had before, let's get him a better one. Best robe. Cool? Huh? Is that cool? That's God. Jesus saying, this is my daddy. This is what he does. Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, the ring of covenant. Like a husband and wife, they exchange rings to say, forever, forever. Put that ring on his finger that he knows that I'm forever here for him. Forever he'll be my son. Put the ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. When they didn't wear shoes, he was feeding the pigs and he had no shoes. That means that was significant that he was a slave. He was considered a slave to this man that he worked for. And Jesus said, the father said, give him shoes. Put sandals on him. He's not a slave anymore. He's not a slave to sin, and he's not a slave to the world. He's my son. I embrace him as my son. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. You know, when God has spoken that to me, that after we go to Hastings, each time we go, people get saved every time we're there. That they have a huge celebration in heaven. and it's more than just like a party, everybody dancing around, that there's fireworks, that just huge firework displays that go off in heaven. There's such a great celebration. God loves his children so much. This is a picture of God wanting the lost to come into the kingdom, wanting to be restored back to his family. These are his sons and his daughters. We saw this week, last week on the news, a terrible atrocity that happened in Orlando. These were God's children that were massacred. Awful. The heart of God. This is the heart of God. He loves his children. He wants them restored to him. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back, safe and sound." He's got his son back. So did the older son react like, "Yay, my brother's back"? Let's see how he reacts. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. And I know that God's showing me that this is a picture of a lot of people that are in the church, that when we see people that lived horrible lives and God restores them and he elevates them and promotes them, they get jealous and they get mad and they don't like it. They get offended. A lot of people don't go to church because they're offended. He refused to go in. A lot of people refuse to go into church and worship God because they're offended. They're mad at their brother or their sister, so they don't go to church. That's a fact. And they stay away from the Father because they're offended. Or they're offended with the minister, or they're offended with God because God isn't doing things the way they want them to do them. And so they get offended and they stay away. This is a picture right now of what's going on in the church in this hour. And it breaks the heart of the Father. Breaks the heart of the Father. He loves his children. And he wants all of them to be close to him. It says the older brother became angry and refused to go in. How many people do we know that are mad at somebody in the church or mad at God? And they refuse to go to church. So his father went out. This is the heart of the Father. "You're not going to come to church. Let me go get you. Let me go bring you back." So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when your son, this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him." Whoa. Huh? Here's this kid who's been faithful to his father, slaving for him, huh? Was he doing it out of delight and desire, what he was doing for his father, or out of duty? Out of duty. God says, "I don't want worship done out of duty. I don't want service done out of duty. I want you to come because you delight in me and your desire is for me." Here's this kid who's been right beside his father, know his father well, but he only did it out of duty. And some of us can identify with that and say, "I have a son or I have a daughter or I have some children that they only call because it's their duty, but it's really not out of delight and desire," and that wounds our heart. Those of us that have children, we all experience that at some point in time, and it's very heartbreaking. Imagine God, who loves us and loves his kids way more than we love our kids, how hurt he is when we only do things because we have to, not because we love him, because it's our duty. It's our duty to be at church, or it's our duty to go to Hastings, or it's our duty. No, God says, "Do it. Whatever you do for me, do it because you love me. Because you want to be close to me, you want to be my friend. Just do it for that." Because his heart of love is so great for us that it wounds his heart when his children mistreat him like that. And this is what the father responded to him. My son. Still calls him his son. The father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. When we enter into a relationship with God, that God embraces us as his child, we become his sons and daughters. And he says, everything I have is yours. Right here. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Tried to draw that older son in. Come on in. Come to the celebration. Get rid of that offense you have. Get rid of the anger. Get rid of the jealousy. Get rid of the competition. Get rid of the pride. This older son was full of pride. He thought he was it. And he missed the mark even more than the younger son. He missed the mark. That's the picture of the Pharisees and Sadducees, how they treated the father, how they treated Jesus. Here Jesus was hanging out with the prostitutes and with the tax collectors. They were enraged. They were enraged. How come he's hanging out with them? How come God would send us to a bunch of teenagers that are completely rebellious, that have broken the law? Because that's who God is. He loves his children. He wants his children saved. This week, getting alone with God, I saw the heart of the Father in something that happened in the news. And, you know, God speaks to us in many ways. And I think that we need to have our ears tuned in to what God is saying and listen. In the book of Revelation, it says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We need to get our spiritual ears up and listen. What is God saying? What is God saying? And he speaks in so many different ways. And I felt that with this atrocity that happened in Orlando, that God was speaking through that. What did God have to say about that? God speaks about everything. We got to listen. What did he say about that? What was his heart about that? How did he feel when all these children, all his children, were massacred? How did he feel? I believe that when a couple of days later or the next day, I've forgotten how soon it was, in Orlando, again, another tragedy, when this little boy gets attacked by an alligator and pulled out into the water and drowned and killed. What did God say? What was God saying with all of this? What was he saying? God didn't cause any of these things to happen. I would want you to understand, God's speaking about it, but he didn't cause it. He did not cause it. I believe that what he was saying through this situation was that father whose boy was killed, that's how my heart is. I want you to see what that father's going through, how he felt trying to pull his child out of the mouth of that alligator. He wrestled with that alligator and tried to pull him out. It's hard to even think about it. You know the desperation. You know the pain. You know the agony. God says, that's a picture of me. That's just like this that I read you is a picture of God the Father. This that happened in Orlando is a picture of God desperate for his sons that were killed just a night or two before. Desperate. And that alligator is a picture of Satan. He knew that he had a window of opportunity to get most of those people that were in that bar, to get them into hell. We're living in an hour when there is a great harvest coming, and the devil knows it. So he has ramped up the warfare, ramped it up to get as many people into hell as quick as he can before the great harvest, before he loses souls. This is where we're at, prophetically, spiritually. We need to know the signs of the times. We need to be like the sons of Issachar, and they knew the seasons that they were in. We need to know the season we're in so we can know how to respond in this season. What's God asking us to do? God's asking us to pray like we've never prayed before, to pray for the lost, to pray for their protection until God can get them saved, that the devil won't take them out. In this story about this young little child, there were signs, no swimming. Weeks and weeks before, people had gone to the officials at Disney and to the workers, and the workers had gone and said, we got alligators in the water. Somebody said, my five-year-old son was chased around by an alligator. They did nothing about it. They did nothing about it. Here's all these young men. Let's take it now back to this bar. Here's all these young men and women in there. What has society done? We've said, it's okay. We'll even legalize homosexual marriages. It's okay. The sign's up. The Word of God says anybody who does this cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven unless they repent. Gotta repent. They repent, they can go in. Anybody who lives like this, that's what the Word of God says. The sign's up. Sign was up, no swimming. The sign's up. Don't do this. Don't do this. What's the church been? Silent. Let the alligator come and chew up these people and drag them into hell. We'll just keep our eyes closed to this. Too much trouble. We'll get into warfare. We'll be persecuted. We'll be mistreated. We'll be disliked if we open our mouths about it and say anything. It would cost us too much. Would it cost Disney too much to clean up that lake of the alligators? Huh? This is the hour we're living in. This is a strategic hour. Signs were up, warnings given, ignored. Ignored. And what happened? An innocent little child was killed. And a father's heart will probably never, never, never be the same. How can that man go on? We need to keep that man in our prayers. That's a picture of the heart of the Father over those boys and women in that place. Just like the father that lost his son to that alligator, our God stood and watched his precious sons and daughters be destroyed and dragged to hell, the majority of them. Very few did we hear. I never heard one news report that anybody was crying out, Jesus, help us. Pray that they did the moments before they died. Pray that they did. We've got to become vigilant. We've got to pray. Pray for the homosexual community. Pray for them to repent because we love them, because they're our brothers and sisters. We can't be like the older brother here. Oh, he was off with prostitutes. He was living a loose life. Let him suffer. We don't want him here. We can't be like that. We have to say, that's my brother. That's my sister. And if they don't repent, they're going to hell for all eternity. For all eternity. One of the boys yesterday, I was telling them the reason I came there was my visitation to hell that God had given me, that put it in me so strong that I cannot just sit back and watch people be dragged to hell, that I need to do something about it. And I was explaining that to the boys. One of the boys came up to me afterwards and said he had a vision of hell. And he was shaken to the core. Shaken to the core what he saw. Right there. And I said, God showed you that so that you will have a passion for the lost. That when you go home, you will try to get your family saved. And you will speak the word of God to them. And you'll do that for your friends too. Do you want anyone to go where you just are? He said, no, I don't. I said, that's why God did it. We need a vision of that. We need an understanding of the reality of life. We need to see, this is horrible on the news. Oh, this is horrible. Let's take a good look at this and see what is going on here. Let's take a good look at it. A bunch of people got dragged to hell. Do you know that every day people get dragged to hell? Every day people get dragged to hell. Every day. I was watching Sid Roth. This morning, I'd seen it this week, a doctor. God's anointed this doctor to pray for the sick. He's a cardiac surgeon. And he had a gentleman come in, and this gentleman died. He died. And they did everything they could. They couldn't save him. But God sent him back to the room. He had them put the paddles back on them again after he'd been dead for quite a while. And he came back to life because he prayed. He said, God, if he isn't in heaven and if he doesn't know you and he's going to hell, bring him back to life. That's how we prayed. He came back to life. And afterwards, he went to him and asked him, what happened when you were dead? He was in hell. He said, I was in utter darkness. That's what I saw when I went to hell. Complete darkness. And he said, I had been disposed of and thrown into the garbage. And I was told I was worthless and I was nothing. And he said, while he was there, he could see what was going on in the hospital room, and he saw angels around his body trying to revive him. And as that doctor prayed, they revived him. That's reality. That's truth. We live too much in the natural realm. We have to let God show us what's going on in the spirit realm. We need to have a passion for the lost. We need to be praying daily for the lost in our families. Do you know that the devil knows who's lost, who he's got? And he will try to kill them so he can drag them to hell before they get saved. If you were the devil, wouldn't that be what you would be doing? You'd go after them while you had the chance. We need to be praying for our lost loved ones, praying that God will send someone to them that will minister to them, that their ears will be open to the truth. We need to be doing that. We need to be praying for our nation. Because the way these other nations are being attacked with Christianity, of being persecuted terribly, that has infiltrated our nation as well. The mouth of the church has been shut up, and we are being persecuted like we never have been before in this nation. We need to be praying for the persecuted church. We need to be praying for the upcoming elections. God has a plan. Who knows what it is? We need to pray, God, let your perfect will come to pass. Put into office the people you want into office. We want our nation governed by the people you choose, godly men and women of faith. We want this nation restored to you. We want all these unjust laws overturned. We need to be praying like that. We're living a strategic time. I believe that because the enemy has ramped up the attack. I'm seeing the attack ramped up against us in our ministry. We go Tuesday night to try to minister to the boys. Cancel it. Two Tuesday nights because of the storms. They can't bring the boys out of one building to another with the storms. Is that God canceling it? No. Yesterday, Madeline called me. She said, how'd you make out? She said, I got this sense came on me that you were being delayed. You were having a tough time. We were. They made us wait a good 40 minutes. Because they had six fights that broke out and couldn't come and get us and bring us down for the ice cream social. The enemy is ramping it up, okay? Because he doesn't want these people saved, okay? We need the blood of Jesus. We need to have wisdom. We need to grab a hold of a prayer partner. Get somebody who'll pray with you. Pray on the phone for 15 minutes a day, if you can, or 15 minutes a week. Get somebody that you know has a heart like you have for the lost, and a heart for God, and pray together. Do damage against the head of the enemy. Stop him. Stop him from his assault. We see that this man just prayed that simple prayer, God, if this guy isn't saved, bring him back. God brought him back. And now the man lives for God. Wrote a book on it, and his experience and everything. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. We've got to gather with somebody, pray by yourself, but also get a prayer partner. Pray with faith. Pray with faith that God will turn this nation around, that he will pour his spirit out on all flesh, our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren, all of them be filled with the anointing of God. They need God's presence. We need God's presence. Why? Because the heart of the Father. When you begin to get a little bit apathetic about it, you think of that father trying to tear that little son out of the alligator's mouth. And you know that God showed me, that's me. He said it to me. That's me. That's a picture of what I'm feeling right now. God is a good father, and he loves his children. He loves his children, but few love him back. Very few. Very few. Let's all stand. We're going to worship.